This week is a cliffhanger of an episode. The next week, or a foreshadowing of an episode. The next week, Aaron's sons Nadav and Avihu will die of some fault of bringing a strange fire before the altar through no particular explanation. So a thing I think about every year as I read this parasha, Parashat Tzav, is what happened? We have chapters of explanation of how to initiate the Mishkan, how to invest the priests, how to anoint them and prepare them with the appropriate clothing. So where did they go wrong? A common perception among our sages that there was some sort of vanity or arrogance among them. And we read from the prophet Malachi, a verse that hints at this on Shabbat HaGadol, on the Shabbat before Pesach, that we account the arrogant happy. And until very recently in my life and in many lives of people whom I counsel, we mistake arrogance and pomposity for true confidence. That we look at those who are alphas and think they are leaders, very different categories. And people who fill themselves with chametz, with fermentation, with false pride and inflation, we might imagine are truly confident. But I think as we grow in wisdom, I think we become aware that true confidence looks like something very different. So I want to talk about what quiet confidence looks like, because among other things, we associate confidence with extroverts, but there's a deep confidence that comes in an introvert, especially one who has profound self-awareness that grows out of quiet and quietude, and can also grow out of conversations with loved ones, friends, and even in the groups that extroverts prefer. One of the first ingredients of becoming a quietly confident person, of understanding what is right and what is wrong, and holding to one's compass regardless to the masses, is to clear away the cobwebs, to separate oneself from the rationalizations, to separate oneself from rationalizations as facile as, my mother drank wine like this, so that's why I drink this much wine, or everyone loves me, that's when in fact they are afraid of you. So Moshe Elsheikh speaks on this week's parasha. I couldn't find the exact citation he is making, but it's the way of people, says the medieval rabbi Elsheikh, that when a wicked person or a foolish woman comes to entice them into a sinful act, the wicked person will give reasons. And it is not by means of reasons that you save your soul, because the enticer could be an articulate person and smooth talk will pervert the words and capture your will. So I want to push that idea a little deeper, that sometimes the enticer is just another part of ourselves. That sometimes we rationalize so much bad behavior and so many blind spots and ignore the places we have for growth throughout our lives, such that by the end of our lives, we haven't made much progress. I heard Jeff Becker say something the other day that he is still young enough to learn from his mistakes. And I thought that was really an incredible motto to have throughout one's life, that we are always young enough to learn from our mistakes. And that's a kind of confidence. The confidence of humility, the confidence to let go of one's pride and to grow. So speaking of arrogance and the ways in which we account the arrogant happy, more than once in our lives, we have seen the arrogant rise to power and wealth and appear to have brazen confidence. And it's hard to strip away the exteriors. They have a lot of benefits. They have a lot of private jets and yachts and seemingly beautiful houses. They have what the Torah calls perquisites, what we might just call perks. I don't know if the two words are actually related. And Aaron and his sons have perquisites of the priesthood. But what's distinct about that, I think, is not that they get those perquisites, those treats, those extra meals, because they're special or inflated or grandiose or grandiloquent, but because of the job they do. Chizkuni, another medieval scholar, says that they are consecrated. They get these perquisites because they do tasks. The reward is in measure to the work. Not always true. We all know that. Sometimes the wicked die comfortably and sometimes the humble and kind live lives of quiet desperation. But I think it's something we can pray for, that the work, the service that we offer others will be commensurate with the reward we received, if not material and financial reward, then at least the internal reward of self-love and confidence. And the flip side is that confidence can be a kind of false, or as my uncle would say, misplaced modesty. That there are times to accept a compliment. There are times to move through with a kind of what Brad Artson used to call humbition, humble ambition, not a humble brag, but the sense that we have room to grow, but we should be humble about how far we have to go and proud of how far we've come. Aaron and Son, says the Chatam Sofer, the 19th century rabbi, when they were honored with the mitzvah of becoming priests, they didn't show false modesty. They didn't aver, they didn't shrug, they didn't step away from it. They did what was asked of them, and there were rewards, rewards in confidence, rewards in esteem, because they took on the service that was called for them. We all try to kindle the flame of confidence, the flame of comfort, the flame of self-awareness and self-knowledge and self-surety within ourselves. And at the construction of the tabernacle and the temple, there is an Esh Tamid, what we call the eternal light in our synagogue, that little light that illumines the bima. But an Esh Tamid was a regularly burning flame that was kept and kindled throughout the journeys, couldn't be extinguished af b'masuot, even in the journeys. We don't know who keeps the fire stoked. There was a concept that they had a copper laver that they'd keep the fire, the sacrificial ember, and I've described it like the flame that goes from one Olympics to the other, the Olympic torch that passes on and on, maybe something like that. And Talmud says that the fire was a heavenly fire, but humans had to add to it. So we have something contained within us, some divine spark in our spirits, some strength that we get in our composition and confirmation from God. God builds us, God calls us, God delivers us, God lifts us up and fulfills us, but we also have to take the actions, as so many of those jokes, you know, about the fella on the roof during the flood, and there's a helicopter and a boat. Finally, the man drowns and says, you know, why didn't you protect me, God? And God says, well, I sent the helicopter and the boat. We do have to step up to be part of God's work for us. And we have to step up and complete the work of building our ego. And I mean that in the Freudian sense of the part of us that is whole, the part of us that is identity, not the id that is acquisitive, not the superego that is punishing and guilt-forming, but the ego that represents who we are, our spirit, our soul. My little niece is here and she has a bunny she carries around with her. And I think my wife described it as her second self, that she represents herself and her needs through that bunny. And there's another kid's book called The Soul Bird about the parts of ourselves that are in a cupboard of souls. So we have to nurture that piece. The word mukta appears in the parsha as the pyre, part of the flame that's gathered on the altar. And the mem, in one of those orthographic oddities, is written small. There's a tradition to write certain letters bigger or smaller or different than you might expect in the Torah. And of course, our sages infer a lot of things from that. But in this case, it's kind of nice. The Menachem Mendel, the Kotzker Rebbe, says that the mem is written small to teach us that the fire in one's soul should be understated, burning within, but showing nothing on the outside. I can't think of a truer description of confidence than the Kotzker Rebbe's idea that the fire be understated and burn within, but not burn others around us, not blind those around us. That's real confidence. Again, there's a huge gap between being an alpha and being a leader. Sometimes an alpha can be a leader, but many leaders have quiet determination and don't embarrass or overwhelm others with their presence, but carry a quiet strength and a wisdom. Circling around my children for some reason right now, I watched my son lead others in their rehearsal for a song, and he can be very bossy to his brothers and yell at them, but with his friends, he was very quiet and serious and direct, And he knew what was supposed to happen because he had thought it through and had a clear sense of himself and gave them clear and direct instruction. And I was like, well, that's leadership without being an alpha. He tries to be an alpha to his little brother, but that's the work, right? To be right, but not self-righteous. To be confident, but not imperious. Bache, another medieval rabbi, says when he's speaking about those oddities of orthography, the odd writing in Torah, places where the manuscripts had these odd variants. He says, and he's speaking also about the trope marks, the weird musical notations that appear sometimes out of nowhere. They seem irregular or unusual, or they only appear four times in the whole Torah. There are marks like that. From the accents in the Torah, we understand what is not written in it. And in the matter of gestures of a person, their body language, their quietness, their silent stillness, their personal strength. From the matter of the gestures of a person, says Bachia, we learn what the intent of the heart is. So I invite you in this difficult time, and God willing, the waning days of our pandemic and the beginning days of Pesach, which will be their own kind of strife, their own kind of work and stress and matzah eating and cleaning and care and busyness, that you carry yourselves with a steadiness and an inner fire and a delight and a strength and a gratitude. I'm going to leave you with Chana Senesh's poem about fires. Ashrei ha-gafrur shenifraf ve'etzitz lavot. Blessed is the match consumed in kindling flame. Blessed is the flame that burns in the secret fastness of the heart. Blessed is the heart with strength to stop its beating for honor's sake. Blessed is the match consumed in kindling flame. May you all be candles and candelabrum and wicks to those around you. And may your soul, as it's said in Psalms, be like a light of God.